Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and...
Here's Johnny!
All right, we've gotten to the point, Tony, where Mr. Five-Timer here now is self-inviting himself to host the program. Hey, you know what? I'm available, and it is my birthday. And I'd like to become the first five-time.
Does he have a key to the building there at Everbank now, or what? Does he have a key?
I will say that when I beat myself in, the dude didn't even let me finish. He was like, oh, yeah, come on.
Come on. He's at the gate. He's like, oh, yeah. And Doom, by the way, you know, Tyler, they've got new security procedures down here that they've had for a few months
right.
at the stadium. They've got little photo IDs, and they snap a photo of you right there at the front desk. And it automatically prints it out on a little barcoded bag with our badge with your name right on it.
Well, I got to know my name and your name. That's it.
Right.
I have to type my name and I have to type your name.
But the point is, you know the process. Like, you're standing there. You knew exactly to back up 2 feet to get your face in the shot.
Right.
As opposed to the middle of your chest in the shot. Tony, he's a little too comfortable around these parts right now. Johnny Machiavelli, Duval Doom, call him what you will.
I was about to say, I have to readjust. We've been out of here long enough that I got to get used to it again.
It does
yeah.
look a little different. I feel like I can see the club.
I'm like, Tony, why does my mouse not work?
Right.
Turn the power on.
Well, 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, I was sitting right where Mike was when it felt like the world was going to collapse
it
on top of
it. It still could happen.
I was proud of you. I was listening
awful.
Live, and I was just like, man, him and Ozier are having – they can't even hear themselves.
No.
The jackhammer was going on. And it could still come. We don't know. And that's the kind of the
it
beauty
like
of being
they were
at
pounding
Everbank right
way
now.
Down the way.
No, it's right above your head.
This morning.
Right. Earlier
this morning
today.
It sounds distant.
I did see the Army because I drove around the stadium.
Yes.
So they were all out over here, I guess, getting ready. They were in there with bright orange T-shirts with their construction hats.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like literally the Army, like the United States military.
No,
was
like
out there.
The Army of construction workers.
I did not know what was going on. It is the first day of OTAs.
We're not in any kind of danger.
As far as you know, we're just fine down here. Okay, Jalen Ramsey got his contract done. Doom, you're the unofficial or official, as far as this program is concerned, spokesperson for the Jaguar fan base out there. What is the, on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being completely calm, 10 being full-scale panic, what is the feeling now after a few days to digest all that we know about Jalen Ramsey?
I think everybody's down to like a 3 or a 4.
I was going to say a 3.
Yeah.
Still a little unease, right?
Yeah. There's a few people that bring the curve up with their panic.
Oh, sure. There's always some, but it's only, you got to chop them out, and you got to chop the people out that have no pulse too, right?
Right.
On both ends of the spectrum, and you take the extremes out of it. And you probably heard John Ogeron with us late last week saying that, you know, really on Thursday, the feeling here at Everbank was nothing like what it was last year with Dante Fowler Jr. You heard Bill Polian today, of all people, talk about how minor the injury was. I'm guessing he probably has a pretty good source with the organization since his
Could
son
be.
Chris works
yeah.
here in the building. He was on with the Dan Hicken on the drill this morning with the Tom Coughlin J Fund charity golf tournament going on out at the Valley Course out at Sawgrass. So let's hope that's the case, right? And it's just one of these things that, oh boy, what a weird coincidence, but nothing like the severity we saw last year.
Oh, yeah. I think most people feel that way. I know I had a overreaction of horrible panic the first moment that it happened.
I mean, are you kidding me? How could you not have that reaction? You're the one who alerted me, I think. You're the first one who texted me.
We had just gotten off the phone. Like,
right.
I had just gotten off the phone, and I was like, wait, what? Oh, son of a.
Right. That's right. And I hadn't been in front of, you know, a computer or anything for a couple of hours, and you and Tyler, and then about five more immediately afterwards. 314 is burned into my mind. That was the time all the texts started coming in on Thursday last week. But, hey, we'll see where things stand. Gus Bradley will talk today, after Jaguar practice. So will Dante Fowler Jr., which I think is an interesting sign. He'll address the media today, so we'll get to hear from him throughout the course of the afternoon here on 1010XL as to what he has to say about where he is right now. And Tony and I see him all the time without a brace on the knee. Look, it doesn't mean he won't have one out there for practice and things like that. I'd be as cautious as – you possibly can if I were him, you know, or if I were
I'd be
team.
Cautious and I'd be getting him ready to get in game shape. Like, it would be – I would. There's a plan in place, I'm sure, for what they're going to be doing with Dante between now and training camp to make sure that he's physically ready for his first NFL football season.
All right, it is your birthday today. Do you want to tell people how old or young you are?
I'm 41.
41.
At 2 o'clock this afternoon.
And you don't look a day over 50. Right? Yeah. Seriously. At 2 o'clock. Oh, you're two, like that. My mom used to call
me.
My
mom tells me, yeah.
My mom used to call me at 12:20 every December 7th, as far as you know, or July 12th, whichever one it happens to
actually
be.
Actually is, yeah.
But she would call me on my birthday at 12:20 at the same time, the actual moment of birth. Funny how that sticks with someone who had to go through labor pains with you. Right?
Yeah.
So, Doom, the question of the day is in your honor.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, as it always is. On this Monday, we asked people what is the coolest Jaguars-related birthday gift that they've ever received.
Huh.
I would imagine, since you do Teal Christmas, you do all these things, I would imagine Jaguar-related birthday gifts are not in short supply at the Doom household.
No, I get a lot of, my mom got me some stuff this year that was nice.
Yeah, all right, we'll get to it. We'll detail that a little bit later on. We're hopeful today to possibly catch up with a player coming off the practice field. That would be, if that happens, it'll be about an hour and a half from now. No guarantees. It all depends. Sometimes practice runs a little long. Depends on if these guys have to go in and work out or do meetings or whatever. But we may be able to grab some guys over the next few days coming off.
I heard him walking in. I heard him. I was pretty close to the practice field, and I got all excited.
Oh, you heard the players out there.
Yeah, well, I think I heard Gus or somebody, but I heard the whistles and the people and excuse me. And I got all excited, and I kind of looked that way. I was walking relatively close to the practice fields, and I kind of looked like I was going to go over there. Then I noticed a security guard who was looking at me like, come over here.
Yeah. He was giving you that Mutombo finger wag, and it didn't happen.
No.
We're not going out there today. Not open to the public today, but Ogier and Frangie will make appearances straight from the practice field. They'll be checking in. John Ogier coming up on the other side. If you want to get in today, 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Again, the question of the day, it's the coolest Jaguar. It doesn't have to be a birthday gift, but the coolest Jaguars-related gift you've ever received. You can tweet us up at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Duval _Doom. I got that right?
Yeah.
It just pops up when I, you know, put at DU, and then it just pops up. But
yours
just wanted to make
that
sure.
Way too. What's great is I do yours, and then it automatically populates Tony.
Oh, we're all so cute. We're always tweeting at each other. And
it's like Mike and Tony.
Hop on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. We'll get the first word from the practice field, Jaguars organized team activities ongoing, who is participating, who's not participating. Do we have full attendance? All those kind of things. John Ogier from Jaguars.com will stop by in mere minutes. We'll take your calls throughout as we kick things off with the Jags on the field for the first time in a while. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Duval Doom. It's a Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Ogier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Oh No's. John Ogier.
I know, but today I can't really say.
No, you can't say.
Practice.
You may know.
Maybe I know. Maybe I don't.
Right. Keep it to yourself, pal.
But I can't say.
Happy Wild West Guns of Gold Monday to you, Johnny. I'll say the question of the day we're asking people, because Doom's birthday today. I don't know if you realize
that.
Well,
good for Doom.
Right. He's made it this many years. But we're asking people what's the coolest Jaguars-related gift that they've ever received on their birthday. This may be a tough one to top. Someone says, I was born in 1995 downtown Jacksonville, and I came home in a Jaguars shirt. So, literally, for his birthday,
yeah,
he received a Jaguars shirt.
It's was it a cool shirt?
When you're a kid, one of the bad cool, man. As long as it fit.
There's no bad Jaguars
shirt. So, is this
shirts?
Doom's birthday present? Does this qualify as,
sure.
Being in here is a birthday present?
That's what I got him. What'd you get him?
You really came out of pocket, huh?
Hey, look, my man hits me up last week, goes, oh, by the way, it's my birthday Monday. I may be taking the day off.
That's got perfect kind of gift. You have to give it.
Can I be the first the inaugural member of the Five Timers Club? He's the first five-time celebrity guest host. You're just John Ogier.
I was looking around to see if we had a copy of Jags the Richie's just laying around that Johnny could sign.
That'd be awesome, man.
You know what stinks is I have a copy and I should have brought it.
You should have. And you could have taken a picture maybe of the two of you together. I don't think he'd sign it for you. I don't think he likes you that much. Would you?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Nice.
I usually sign.
So we can't really talk. What is going on?
Well, I mean,
the Jags aren't
OTAs.
Congregating on the field, right?
It's what you'd expect. I think I can say without giving away that they're running, they're cutting. They're sweating.
Yeah. Heart rates are elevated.
Yeah, I mean, it's OTA thing.
Football's maybe thrown.
And they're straining.
Training camp, they're straining. It's that.
Yeah.
So I was out there 15 minutes. They're really just warming up right now. They were breaking into some groupings. They were grouping. Is that another thing they can do? So,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were. Right now, that's the extent of it. And I don't know that we'll have any major news after practice.
Let's hope not.
Right. I'm planning to write Dante Fowler. The things I saw him just do are jibe with what I've heard and seen from people over the last couple of weeks is that he looks like a normal player. You know, he's not shown any signs of slowness from the knee, but again, I've seen him for 15 minutes, so
understood. But I mean, yeah. That's what we've heard as well. Tony and I have heard that
from the coaches. I've heard he looks outstanding for where, and I'm not even for where he is.
Very happy with how he looks, exactly.
And that's all you can ask for. What 54 weeks off the injury?
It's been 12 months, right? Yeah, so 12 and a half months, right? And he's still got plenty more time.
Right.
They're not going to go crazy with him. What are they going to try to get accomplished? John, for people that are wondering, okay, what's the big secret we can't talk about? Clearly, they don't want to talk about schemes and personnel groupings and things like that because it gives away somewhat of a competitive advantage. But in general, what are they trying to get accomplished during these weeks of OTAs?
On defense, you're trying to get to the point where all these new guys, and there are a lot of new guys, and unfortunately Ramsey and Jack aren't among them on the field, but you're trying to get Malik Jackson to Sean Gibson, all of the guys that you signed, Prince and McMara, on the same page in the defense, and get it to where everybody who has been here understands exactly the new, I'd say, tweaks that Todd Walsh is putting in. It's not an overall new defense. There are different things within that. So you've been in film for, two or three weeks. And now you want to make sure that it's starting to become muscle memory when you go out in training camp. It's very basic. I'm not reinventing the wheel with this answer. It's very basic stuff. You're trying to get new faces in new places up to speed.
Yeah, and look, the OTAs, before they put the pads on, even for really the first couple days of training camp, it feels like it's almost you're watching receivers against defensive backs in routes. And that's really what I can see on the field and say, okay, that guy won that rep or didn't win that rep or looked good or didn't look good. And it's interesting what the Jags have done this offseason, bringing in all these new faces on defense, how much more important these couple weeks might be for them, specifically on that side of the ball, just to get these guys acquainted with one another. They haven't played football together, and they're going to be relied on heavily when we get to week one against Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think for defense, that's clearly what it is. It's about Malik Jackson being next to Jared Odrick for the first time and just getting a feel for, okay, he likes to line up, 6 inches over here on this play, and we might be doing this in this package. Just that, as I said, that comfortable feel that you want from having done something with somebody. Now, I think offensively, there is a little bit more of a higher standard that they'll be holding themselves to than there was even last year. It's the second year under Greg Olsen. If Blake has talked about anything in the offseason, it has been he wants, to use all the bad cliches, complete ownership, fast recall of the offense. He wants this to be more of a second nature than it was last year. So I think he'll expect himself to be more efficient, to look better during OTAs than he did last year, than he did the previous year.
And with most of the guys that are going to be catching the passes from him, they've got that familiarity. I mean,
right.
They've got a ton of holdover. We were just talking before we came out of the break about Julius Thomas a little bit, and what a shame it was that he derailed such a great offseason that he was having last year. I don't know if it wasn't this early necessarily, but, a month from now, 11 months ago, right? Julius Thomas was showing himself to be maybe the most complete football player on this squad. And I think, it's an overlooked piece because we talk about the Allens. Mm-hmm. Can Marquise Lee finally make a significant dent into this offense? What can Rashad Greene do? Chris Ivory's new. How's that going to work? And I think Julius has been overlooked a little bit. And that's a good thing because that means you've got a lot of other people you can point to.
I thought he had maybe more of an impact last year in the offense than he was given credit for, because there was a stretch. He had five touchdowns. And there was a stretch where you got the idea the defenses were having to account for him, that he was helping the outside guys. That's not what he wanted. That's not what the fans want. They want numbers. But I think he had more of a contribution last year than people thought. But it was interesting to listen a couple weeks ago. Whenever Blake and Allen talked, every one of them was incredibly optimistic about the contribution that Julius Thomas would make. And there was a feeling from listening to these guys that NFL players know who's really good. And there was a feeling among those three that they know Julius Thomas has the capability of really making an impact. And there was sort of that bubbling under feeling of, hey, this guy's going to be pretty good this year if he's on the field, if he's going to be part of it. You got the idea that they were seeing things in meetings, how they were going to use him, of, hey, this is the guy to watch next year.
Big 3 months.
That's the impression I took away anyway.
No, yeah, I agree. Big 3 months for Luke Jokel, right, because he's got the advantage of being on the field, right? Whereas Kelvin Beachum's going to be playing catch-up. And, you know, look, he's still the first overall pick of this regime.
Sure.
And prior to Week 17 last year, there was a completely different feeling. Certainly, the organization felt he had played fairly well, pretty well.
Yeah.
I think Dave Caldwell cited in their own internal viewing of the film, they had credited him with giving up only two sacks in the first 15 games.
And some of that is sometimes you don't credit a tackle with a sack if you feel like the ball was held too long, if you feel like there were other factors, but you get it.
Understood. Right. But the point being that Luke Jokel's still a young guy, and you're going to find out what having a bit of a fire lit under his butt is going to do for this guy in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've never been one necessarily to think that Jokel wasn't motivated before. I think a lot of his is the youth, still getting used to it, you know, all that stuff.
I understand that.
But I get it.
But when your back's to the wall, I think that brings out the competitor to the nth degree in all of us.
And I still believe that in some capacity, both Jokel and Beachum are going to be on the field. It'll be a case of where they are. But, yeah, it's a huge month. If he plays well, performs well, I don't think it's nearly as much of a odds or that Beachum is the front runner in the clubhouse as people seem to think. I think Jokel certainly has to hold on to the job and perform better. But obviously it's a huge 3 months. This year clearly determines whether he starts next year or not. This clearly determines his future with the franchise, whether or not he can become a core guy, all that stuff. I don't know all that, but it's certainly huge.
And it's also the beginning of Brandon Linner's career as a center for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The OTAs getting started this week. On the other side of the ball, really quick, the defensive backfield is fascinating to me. And whatever the injury is to Jalen Ramsey, however severe or not severe it is, we don't know when he's going to be back on the field for this football team. We know Colvin's going to be out for the first month of the season. Amukamara is a guy who's dealt with injuries his entire career. I think trying to figure out exactly what the group of cornerbacks specifically is going to be by the time we get to opening day and trying to put that puzzle together is going to be really interesting. And opportunities are there for guys like Grotz and McCray and Nick Marshall to really put a stamp on an opportunity early on in the year during this offseason.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It does feel like for the first time they're finally at a point where, okay, yes, the Jalen Ramsey injury is far from what you want. I don't think he's going to miss time, but we'll see after the second opinion and all that. But if he does, if this had happened last year, which it sort of did with Fowler, you felt stuck. Now, Prince Amukamara, Devon House starting isn't nearly as scary as if they hadn't signed Amukamara. They're a little deeper. They seem to be developing a roster that can maybe take a hit like this and have it not be a tragedy, if you will. But I think it's going to be fascinating in that first month of the season. Boy, you'd rather not have Colvin and Ramsey out, because you'd rather not have Grotz and McCray in that, because they haven't shown that they're strengths.
And so, look at who you're playing quarterback-wise.
Right. So in that sense, it wouldn't shock me if Jalen goes into training camp and is one of those guys. I think you said it last week, Mike. We've all seen sort of the bring back slowly during training camp. They're on, they're off, and all of a sudden it's not until the fourth game where they're really up and going. If Jalen goes through something like that, it wouldn't surprise me to see him start at nickel to start off with, because he's clearly got the skill set to do that, free safety. He's the kind of guy who'd probably be a very, very, very good nickel. You don't want to waste him there. But it wouldn't surprise me to see them work him into that way slowly and then have it be one of those things where all of a sudden in the third game of the season, he's on the outside more than the inside, and then he's the guy out there.
Right.
That sometimes all we talk about in the offseason is depth chart slots. Sometimes a guy morphs into a starter more in the way that I talked about than actually, hey, he's the starter now. You know, so maybe that's how it plays out for him.
So it's 10:30 now. They'll go for about another hour today. Gus Bradley will address the media, and he'll do that after every practice this week.
That's my understanding, yes.
And, right, at least that's what's scheduled. And then Dante Fowler Jr. will talk today as well, and you'll be writing stories based on some of that content on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Dante's the story today, and then there'll be other odds and ends and notes from Gus talking. And at some point, you got to write quarterback this week because for all we're talking about and all the Jalen Ramsey talk and all of Doom's letters and all these things, it's really, you know, they're at a point with Bortles in the offense where everything else is still supplementary. His development, how he grows, where this offense gets to, can it be elite eventually in the way that we think of? They're not talking about other stuff in Green Bay. It's about, can that offense get better and reach where it was? So that's what you feel like Bortles is becoming. So he's still the main story no matter what else happens on this team.
All right, get back out there and take in a bunch of stuff you can't tell us about.
I will.
All right, there he goes. John
guys,
Osier,
thanks.
Senior writer from Jaguars.com. We appreciate it, buddy. On Twitter, at John Osier, of course. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, the birthday boy Duval Doom in the house. Your play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Frank Frangie joins us in studio fresh off the practice field coming up in moments. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Took me a second, old man.
I didn't hear it.
It's all. That's right. You don't have a headset on. It's old man. Take a look at your life.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks,
Tyler.
That's you. Old man. I thought it might be for Frangie.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure.
I'm not a Neil Young guy.
No, right.
But I am an old guy.
This doesn't sound like the boss
right,
to me. Is this a cover or something like that? How are you?
I'm good, brother. Good to see you. It's fun to see him out on the football field again. So all's good.
You're rocking the full Poncherello look right now with the shades, man.
How's it working? I don't have my glasses.
They're not mirrored.
And I can't see. So
are those prescriptions?
Yeah, they are. So to see my roster, it's the only crack I had.
Well, you can't.
And I'm kind of cool. So you got to deal with both those things.
Can you see? They're so dark, though. I don't know.
Well,
you can see the roster.
No, I really can't see it, but I'm going to take a shot out of there. So.
All right. Well, how are you? Everything good?
I'm good, Mike. It's always exciting, even though it's a long time before they play. It's always exciting when they're out there.
Yeah,
and,
you know.
And it's good. And summer vacation right around the corner, you're going to look up and it's going to be training camp. You know, I mean, it really works that way. You look up and boom.
Don't tell me about it, man. Yeah. I'm trying to enjoy it as long as I possibly can.
I was going to say, he's
season.
Going out of town for 2 weeks this year. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to 2 weeks of vacation, Mike. Yeah.
I know.
I'm
like 3 days of vacation.
Yeah.
Two weeks.
I do it. Yeah. 2 weeks going to Yellowstone.
Holy.
Oh, you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
This will surprise you, Tony, but I'm going to take my share this summer as well.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I know that's an upset.
Because you haven't had any so far this year.
No,
I'm pretty sure.
Look, it's been a month or so. I mean,
it's been a grind for you.
Yeah, I'm worn out.
Hey, Frank, look, there's nothing to see yet out there anyway, but we can't get into particulars regardless.
Right.
But what are you hoping to see in terms of development from certain players, or you know, just over the course of the next few weeks of OTAs?
Yeah, we're asked not, and we respect that, to talk about position alignments and whatnot, because we're able to go out there as a media, not as a public. But you can talk about who looks good. Fowler looks the part. I wanted to see him in a uniform. I haven't seen him in a while, right? Ngakoue looks the part. You know, I wanted to see those guys. So that made me feel good. When we can talk about public stuff, I want to see if Brandon Linder can snap it back there. I think everybody wants to see that. I want to see if there's, you know, now that Bortles and Robinson and Hearns have played together, now that it's almost like they're veterans together, I want to see how that looks different.
Does it look different?
Yeah,
right?
I want to see that. It's hard to see running backs in practice because nobody hits in practice anymore.
Especially the way Chris Ivory plays.
Right,
You know, you're not going to be able to appreciate him until deep in the second half of the first game of the year, I think.
That's exactly right. He's here because he's violent. But I can't wait till I get to see that, whenever that is. So I think that jumps off the page for me a little bit. Ivory, how the quarterback and receivers look different. Brandon Linder will be the center. I think everybody's expecting that. If that's the case, how will he snap it back there? and obviously the new guys. Ramsey when he gets back out there. Jack when he can finally get here. Those are the things. Everyone's excited about new guys.
Right. Who knew that maybe we'll see Miles Jack on the practice field before we'll see Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah.
Let's hope, as I'm sure you've talked about it a lot on your show as well. We just had John Osier in here, and he said, you know, strikingly different tone last week compared to last year with the Dante Fowler situation.
Right.
The sense he gets is that it's they really do believe it's on the short end of that window of, you know, will he be back in a matter of weeks or a matter of months, and that the second opinion is more to confirm what they think is good news relatively on the injury front.
Yeah, Kevin Kaplan and James Andrews had a conversation. This wasn't – when you hear second opinion, Mike, a lot of times you think, okay, the player didn't like what he heard, so he wants to get a second opinion, so because people are looking for a different opinion. That's our assumption. That's not what happened here. Kaplan looked at it. I think now whoever asked to get Andrews involved, I don't know. Was it Jalen? Was it his agent? I don't know. But I know that Kaplan and James talked. I know that for a fact. They said, let's make sure we're on the same page, and then they agree together kind of what to do. I think everybody with whom I've spoken would be shocked if he doesn't play in the first game. Frankly, I think they'd be shocked if he doesn't play in a handful of preseason games. I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be fine.
I think so, too, and hopefully we get that news here over the course of the next couple weeks that it is on the short end of that injury to that knee spectrum. But when you look at the secondary with what they do have out there right now, a guy we didn't have the chance to talk to with Osher, you just don't have enough time to get to everybody, Tashaun Gibson.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to see what it looks like with this defense with the guy who truly can play center field and maybe do some of that sideline-to-sideline stuff they're going to ask him to do.
Tony, we did something on our show. Who the most important guy to not lose, valuable, and I think, and Gibson made the list because he's the one guy that it doesn't look like they've got another guy like it.
Right.
You know, there's some other guys that if you look, are good players, but maybe there's another guy like them. Tayshaun Gibson's their center fielder. He was brought here to be a single high free safety, which they haven't had on the roster. They kind of hoped James Sample would be that, but I think they've learned he's really more of a strong safety, which is what he played in college. So he's the one guy like that. I agree with you. I think seeing Tayshaun Gibson and seeing if he can be that guy is a critical part of what they're trying to do defensively.
I think when you talk about the single guy that they picked up this offseason, that for this year's success, guys like Ramsey and Jack, you hope, are going to be part of 10 years of success here. I think he's the single most important guy that they picked up. But had you know it was going to work out this way, you could make the argument that, hey, you know what, Ramsey may be better suited to be a free safety anyway and play with, you know, facing the football regardless. So I think ultimately once he gets comfortable in the National Football League, you don't want to put too much on a rookie's plate, but you've got a guy who's a tremendously movable chess piece back there, ultimately, in Jalen Ramsey, that you'll see him in the slot, you'll see him outside, you'll probably see him play safety in some packages, and you don't want to see Gibson go down, of course, but I think, you know, once he gets his sea legs in the NFL, you've got an alternative somewhere down the line.
I agree with that. He looks like a guy that could be a good safety. But I think the first thing you said is right. Right now, get him here and teach him to play cornerback.
Right. Master your craft.
That's right. Particularly now, because cornerback's the position where speed is in play is where there's really a difference for these NFL guys. Because he even last year when he was a shutdown corner, remember he played three spots in 3 years at FSU, but last year when he was a corner on an island, he might have seen some good receivers. He didn't see all good receivers. In this league, as you know, Mike, they're all good. They're all fast. They all know how to get off jams or they wouldn't be here. I think let him learn that. But you're right. Ultimately, 3 or 4 years from now, if Tayshaun Gibson is having all pro years and goes down, he looks the part, right? I think that's your point. I agree with that. He looks like a guy that could be a safety.
Voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, here with us on Jaguars Today. Frank, right now, assuming there are no further setbacks and the team is the team heading into training camp, what is your greatest area of concern right now on this football team?
The offensive line, because I think there's newness. I think Brandon Linder's a terrific football player, but he hasn't played center up here. I think Kelvin Beachum will win that job, in my opinion, but I think I like the fact that Luke Jokel's being challenged, and I like the fact that they'll battle it out there, and I think that's good competition there. If Beachum wins the job, does Mackenzie Bernardo keep left guard, which I think he'll start there, or does Jokel move inside? That concerns me. Defensive line more than anything else. I'm going to assume, we shouldn't assume, but I am, that the defense really will be improved. Once Ramsey's back and Jack is out there, man, they're faster, and Ngakoue can run. They've added fast guys. I think we all knew, Mike, they needed to add fast defensive guys. I think they've done that. So, look, obviously your concern should be the defense because that's what wasn't good last year. But the offensive line is what I really need to see. I've preached this stat, Tony. 3 offensive rushing touchdowns from a running back all year long.
Yeah.
That's an astounding stat. And part of that's the back, which is why Ivory's here. He scored 7 and led the AFC in rushing. But they've got to get a little better push up front, too. So if I had to identify one thing, Mike, it would probably be the offensive front.
Well, it was two things going into the offseason for me. It was obviously third down on defense. You got to get that figured out because they were so good on first and second down that there's no reason they should have to be on the field as much as they were. And it feels like everything they did on defense was about third down and trying to get off the football field. And on the offensive side, it's about consistency, and that means being able to run the ball when you want to, being able to pick up third and four, getting your quarterback to a point where he is a 60-65% completion guy, and I think that all starts with what they're going to do up front. I feel okay about that group they're going to have on the offensive line, but it would be foolish to not have questions about what it's going
to
look like.
To your point about getting off the field, any coach will tell you, teams that don't get off the field on third down, the quarterback sits in the pocket too long. That's it. It's
yep.
not running backs. It's not receivers are beating your defensive backs. If you're a team, if you're a defense that struggles, Tony, on third down, that means the opposing quarterback is sitting in the pocket. There's no other, and I'll give Dave Caldwell credit. You said it. How many guys did they bring in who conceivably can rush the passer? Whether it's all those guys they drafted, whether it's Verner who they got at the end, whether it's Malik Jackson who's a very good pass rusher, even as an interior guy. Now Scoot is going to be used in that role some if Miles Jack can play a regular linebacker spot. So, yeah, teams that don't get off the field on third down is because the opposing quarterback sits in the pocket. That's the number one, two, and three reason why, and I think they've addressed
see
that.
See Matt Ryan, see Drew Brees, see all these guys that killed him late in the season last year.
Sitting in the pocket.
I mean, Frank, they did such a good job, in particular that Atlanta game burns in the memory. You know,
right.
They did a good job in getting them in those third and long situations. That's one of the hidden things, I think, about this team. They felt good about their run defense. They felt good about their defense on first and second down. In addition, all those new guys we've talked about, Fowler, you get hopefully a healthy Sendarek Marks back as well. So many new bodies. A lot of them have played football very well at the NFL level. So how quickly they integrate, we'll find out.
Well, you know, Mike, and to that point, I mean, Sendarek Marks, everybody's healthy. The game starts. Everybody's healthy, right? Sendarek Marks probably doesn't start the game.
Correct.
Michael Bennett, who they really like, might not make the team. They've gotten to that point now. Now they're to the point where they're going to cut some good players, I think, where a good player or two might not start and provides the depth. That's where they haven't been. My goodness, we'd see a guy and go, well, he looks like he might be a good pass rusher. I don't know, but he's got to be. Ryan Davis has to help them. Chris Smith has to help them. I think they've moved beyond those days. That's the good thing, at least I hope.
Yeah, they got 8, 9, 10 guys on the defensive line that you feel good about. Like, any of them on the field at any time, you're like, okay, that's fine from a Jaguars perspective. And look, the whole draft to me was about third down. And it began with coverage. And Miles Jack finally brings in a guy that actually has the ability to take away an opposing tight end. That's what it feels like with him coming on the field, adds that speed, that versatility. And from there, it was Ngakoue and Day. And it was all about getting after the quarterback.
You know, it's funny. You talked about Miles Jack. Linebackers don't have that allure in the draft, right? Because they're not pass rushers. They're not quarterbacks. So nobody gets excited about drafted linebackers. They just don't. But if you think about it, if you think of all the games you've watched over all those years, whether it's Ray Lewis or Derrick Brooks or you know whoever, linebackers can control games because they're involved in every facet. They're run defense guys. They may be pass rushing. In Miles Jack's case, he may be covering a slot receiver halfway down the field. So there's far more ways. A pass rusher can affect the game one way. Linebacker can affect the game a bunch of ways. I can't wait to see Miles Jack. You talk about over the moon. I know the college rule, the NFL rule is if you're class hitting, blah, 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 blah. I wish he was here.
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah.
the guy I wish.
I think the rule is so antiquated, but that's a story for another day. I think Todd Wash, while it would be fun, I think he's got his work cut out for him figuring out combinations because you've got all these guys. I count 12 defensive linemen that I'm comfortable with
right.
making this roster. And that's including Bennett. So if you put him on the fence, even 11, that's a big number of guys that you feel like, you know what, they're going to add something and really contribute to this football team. You got to come up with the combinations that take advantage of your best players. Don't forget about guys. Keep guys fresh. It's a little more daunting task than he's had or defense coordinators here have had in years past.
I totally agree with that, Mike. Here's the thing. Roy Miller, Avery Jones, they're one position guys. They're a shade. They're two gap guys. They're nose guards. They come off the field on third down. All the rest of them can do a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah,
Odric can play end or three technique. Malik can do that.
Alu
can do that. They're a bunch of versatile guys that can do a bunch of stuff. And I think you know what Fowler can be that Leo spot. Hell, he can drop into coverage. I think Ngakoue probably can drop into coverage. So they got a bunch of guys. I agree with you, Mike. A bunch of guys that can do a lot of things. And they have not had that. They have had to hope this guy comes and can really dominate, because if not, they're in trouble. And when he didn't, they were in trouble. That's what happened.
All right, go put those shades to good use.
I am.
Get back out there and enjoy the
shades.
Final 40 minutes of day one of OTAs. Frank, thanks for stopping by.
Right,
good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
What do you have coming up this afternoon?
Yeah, a lot of this. A lot of this. We'll talk, obviously, about little NBA and all the stuff going on. The freaking Thunder look good, don't they? So we'll talk. But mostly this. Brady's out here today. Brent can't be because he's playing in the Tom Coughlin event, but he will be the rest of the week. Amanda's out here, so mostly what you're seeing right here.
All right, sounds good. Frank Frangie, voice of the Jags. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
There he goes, Frank_Frangie on Twitter. You probably knew that already. All right, we'll take a timeout here. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony Duval, Doom, the birthday boy, is in the house as well, coming back with this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We'll start in reverse order. Born on this date in 1991, one of the best defensive tackles. Who is the best defensive tackle in the game right now? Give me three. Give me three names.
Best defensive tackle. Aaron Donald.
Number one. There you go. Boom.
Okay.
Right there, off the top of your head.
It's not Haloti.
I can always count on Tony. Yes, Mr. 5 years ago. It is Haloti. All right. He's still a good player.
Right.
Aaron Donald is a wrecking ball, two-time Pro Bowler. He's only played 2 years, and a one-time first-team All-Pro. Born on this date in 1991. Happy 25th. Born on this date in 1975. Your boy Johnny over here. Come on, Duval Doom is 41 years young today and a five-timer. I didn't have a smoking jacket for you like Steve Martin will come out in the five-timers club. So I don't know what we're going to get you. Maybe a Jaguars Today t-shirt. You probably already have one of those. So.
I do. I almost wore it today, and then I couldn't find it, and my dog was asleep. I didn't want to wake her up.
You couldn't find it, and you did not want to wake your dog.
No, you don't understand. She's old, and she had a rough weekend.
I don't understand. You're correct about that. But happy birthday anyway, you old so-and-so. That is it for this date in football. It was a small one, but it was a significant one nonetheless. Presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services on Duval Doom's birthday. This is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
You didn't really think it was over, did you? I mean, Deflategate will never die. Whatever the final outcome turns out to be, it's never going to officially end. The next chapter in the story, though, seems to have finally begun. Tom Brady expected to appeal to the court that reinstituted his four-game suspension today, the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Brady wants his next day in court, and from all reports, it seems like he will probably get it. If he does, that means that the four-game suspension would most likely once again be put on hold until his appeal can be heard by that court. We will continue to monitor the progress of Deflategate, the story that never ends.
Can you get into the Hall of Fame if there's a post-playing career suspension hanging over your head, Tony? That's the question.
I don't know. Can it last 5 years after he's done playing?
Well, I'm just thinking, can he put it off far enough that he never actually has to serve it?
Right.
Would they force him to serve it in some capacity before allowing him to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
At this point, even if he retired, I think he'd still fight it.
Would they let the Hall of Fame class of Brady's induction year all go in, and then Brady has to wait 4 weeks before he can go in? That might be
appropriate. Sorry, Mr. Brady, you can't go up to the podium.
That's it. You're right. You're going to sit here and watch.
The NFL continues to investigate Johnny Manziel, despite his not being currently on a roster. The latest investigation involves the wrecking of a leased Mercedes, and Manziel reportedly telling the car owner that he would replace that vehicle, but hasn't yet. It's an incident that happened in April. The police aren't pressing any charges stemming from it. The Mercedes was destroyed against a light pole. Manziel was the passenger, not the driver, reportedly in the vehicle. And just because I know listeners out there, and especially the one sitting to my right, love stories about this guy, I thought I should mention that J.J. Watt has released his very own brand new logo on Instagram that you can go check out. He is a brand, J.J. Watt. He is a brand. And Maurice Jones-Drew. Right. Maurice Jones-Drew got caught by the cameras of TMZ. Of course, he's on NFL Network now doing work. He does the satellite radio as well with Dempsey. But Maurice Jones-Drew comfortable talking about the NFL and had some pretty pointed comments about one Chip Kelly.
Do you think Chip Kelly was a good choice for the Niners as a coach?
I'm a Raiders fan.
I'm a Niners coach. I was a little disappointed. You're a Raiders fan?
Yeah, you're a Niners fan?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, it sucks, man. All my boys are Niners fans, so okay. I'm kind of happy.
So you don't like Chip Kelly as a
coach? No, not at all.
Like, how come?
He destroyed the Eagles, right?
Do you think he's not a player's coach like Harbaugh was?
I don't know necessarily. I just think his offense is a gimmick, and gimmicks don't really – You know, they work for a year or two in the league, and then defenses figure it out. You got to go back to, you know, real football, which is like lining up in a formation. No huddle. That no huddle sub doesn't work. Okay. Wear your defense out.
I'm wondering, like, the Niners, they didn't pick a quarterback. They got, like, a fifth-round quarterback or something, or sixth round.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think they're trying to tank so they can get, like, a quarterback next year? Like, do teams do that?
I don't think so. I think I like what they did. They're trying to build their team from the inside out. So trying to go guards, tackles, defensive linemen. They're trying to build a solid core, then do the other, you know, things all the fans like, receivers, corners, quarterbacks, things like that. I think they're starting the right way in their rebuild process, but I just don't know if Chip Kelly's going to be the guy or not.
Right.
Man, running backs love it when you build your team through guard and tackle.
All right.
I don't know if anyone else does, but running backs do.
First issue, I'm a Raider fan. Hey, MJD, I get it, okay? Cannot you be a Raider and a Jaguar fan, or is it just because you were discussing the Bay Area? Why is it got to be the first thing out of your mouth that you're a Raider fan? Come on. I know you grew up a Raider fan. Stop it. All right, and
the guy didn't ask him about the Titans.
By the way, don't the New England Patriots run a good bit of no huddle in their scheme?
A little bit.
Have they had any success doing that, Tony?
No,
in today's modern football, where you just have to line up in quote formations.
It's just that Belichick's a genius and Chip Kelly's an idiot.
Let me tell you, he has carried that Chip Kelly is an idiot chip on his shoulder. No pun intended. For a while now. I've been dealing with Maurice on this issue. You know, Chip Kelly won 10 games. I don't care. He won 10 games again. No, it doesn't matter. He is not a Chip Kelly fan. That's fine.
Wilting team in December.
Both his years in Philadelphia. But, you know, still, not how many coaches win 20 games in the first 2 years and get fired after the third season, no matter how bad it goes off the rails?
And that feels more about whatever issues they're having in those locker rooms and the shipping out of talent for whatever reason that was going on under Chip Kelly.
I understood. There are a lot of other
the way he relates to players just doesn't seem to be very good.
Could you imagine Doom? What would it take? You got to win like one game in back-to-back years here in Jacksonville to lose your job.
Don't talk about my man.
I'm just saying, you know, or win two games. Mike Mularkey, two games will get you. Yeah, as long as you're winning three, you're safe.
He didn't get fired because of two games. He got fired because of the helmets lined up thing.
Is that what it was?
That was stupid.
Well, I think the two games factors into it. I think the fact that he didn't get along with several key members of the football team probably played into it.
If you had to guess which coach was going to be a mayonnaise sandwich coach, it's Mike Mularkey. He's where he belongs.
What about Mike Mularkey is intrinsically mayonnaise worthy?
He is plain and smelly looking.
And the alliteration
works.
Well,
that makes sense.
You got Mike Mularkey mayonnaise.
Yeah, Mike Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually makes sense because he is plain, he is boring. I mean, mayo by itself, hideous. Right? But I mean, when you mix it with other things, and a little.
There's ways it's acceptable, but not.
Just not by the spoonful?
No.
Understood. All right. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010, let's check out the text line driven by Duval Ford. Today we asked folks the best Jaguar-related birthday gift or just gift that they've ever received. We've got some interesting ones here. But by the way, we're talking about the actual time. You were born at 2 o'clock. I was born at 12:20. I said my mom used to always call me at 12:20 on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Mike, I used to call my mom on my birthday at the time I was born to thank her for having me, as opposed to the alternative.
Was it like 1 o'clock in the morning? So he was being a jerk.
Maybe. I'm guessing not. I think I just got put in my place there that I should have been calling my mom. But I always thought you don't have to call me at the exact time. I kind of enjoyed it though, you know?
Right?
Because that's mom. You know,
hey, that's your thing with your mom.
Mom could do whatever she wants. My grandparents took me to meet Fred Taylor and get two autographed footballs back when there was a Circuit City in Argyle. This had to have been over 10 years ago, maybe close to 15. But I met Fred, and he seems like a really good guy. But that is the best Jaguar gift I can think of that I've ever had. Fred is a great guy.
You know, interesting that they say that, because the first time I ever actually got to meet Fred was because Sprint Wireless arranged for him to sign at my store. I ran a Radio Shack.
Is that right? You know what? It's funny you say, because I remember at the other network when Tony and I used to work at another station, we were doing a remote one day in the afternoon. I don't even know what the purpose of it was. We used to do a lot of these remotes, Tony. You remember where we'd be on the sidewalk outside of an establishment?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like if we did well, they'd claim us. And if they didn't, they'd be like, how'd they get here? We don't know. We're not responsible for this. And Freddie T was bringing his phone in. I think it was at a Sprint store.
Nice.
And so we all have those Sprint-related memories with Fred Taylor.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I ran the store at the Avenues for a long time, and we actually did. We sold a lot of phones to the players. The players would come in, and they'd get the hookup, and Sprint would bring them in. Usually a Sprint rep would come with them if they were a player like Fred Taylor. But they'd come in and say, hey, you need it. But, yeah, they had Fred, Quinn, and David sign at my store that day. David was still not the starter officially yet, so that's how long ago that was, like 2003.
It's going back. Yeah. It's going back a ways right now. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk about one of the Jags' newest endeavors. Pretty cool. They're partnering up with one of their primary sponsors, Web.com, who's been a great sponsor of our program and many of our endeavors over the years here on 1010XL. And right now, the window is still open, the entry window for the 2016 Small Business Breakthrough powered by Web.com in collaboration with the Jags. It's the second year. It's kind of a Shark Tank-style competition that will give North and Central Florida and South Georgia businesses the chance to step into the cage. The ultimate winner will take home a comprehensive NFL sponsorship with the Jags and a complete digital makeover from Web.com. It's a package valued at more than $250,000. So this is a great opportunity if you've got a small business. Madaston, I believe is how you say it, is last year's winner. They've seen their numbers across the board in terms of web traffic, revenue, everything has skyrocketed since they won. So we've got a rep from Web.com coming up to tell you all about that in just a few minutes. So if you're a small business owner or you work for a small business and you want to get your business in front of the right people and maybe get an incredible once and a lifetime type marketing opportunity, be listening in the next few minutes. We'll do that. Jags on the field for OTAs right now. Should be wrapping up in about 20 minutes or so. Hopeful maybe to catch a player on day one of OTAs coming off the practice field about 30 minutes from now. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Gus Bradley and Dante Fowler Jr. will both be addressing the media after practice today. So you'll hear a lot of what they had to say throughout the course of the day and again tomorrow on Jaguars Today. So stick around. It is a Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Duval Doom here with you live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it is good to be back home, and at the risk of needing to knock on wood, Tony, it's quiet, you know, in terms of construction noises, so we like that.
I think they stay out of here when the players are really in.
Maybe that's it. That's a good point. Now that they're back, we'll get a little more leeway.
Like this afternoon after the players leave the building, it'll be back.
And that'll be fine. That'll be J.P. Shadrick's cross to bear at that point in time. Well, we're doing just fine here this morning on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. For a long time, Web.com was one of the most loyal sponsors, fantastic company that we've had here on this program and on 1010XL, big supporters of your Jacksonville Jaguars as well. And they have partnered up with the Jags once again to come up with just a great idea to help promote one lucky small business here. And we've got Tyler Brown on the line. He's the Senior Director of Sports Marketing over at Web.com to talk about this endeavor. Tyler, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing great. Great to be here.
Glad to have you here. Tell us about the Small Business Breakthrough, which started last year. Who came up with the idea for this? Was it Web.com? Was it the Jags or kind of a collaboration? And it seems like it was a raging success in year one.
It was a huge success last year, and this year will be even better. It was the Jaguars and Web.com working together, collaborating on how can we really impact Jacksonville and its community in a big way.
And it last year... For folks who don't know, it's kind of like a Shark Tank competition. I think over 350 businesses entered and wanted to pitch their business on why they were deserving of basically you get an NFL sponsorship package, you get Web.com completely revamping your online presence as well. And Modiston was the winner last year. You narrow it down to, I think, six finalists, and they go into a kind of a Shark Tank type pitch competition. Am I describing it properly?
You're spot on. There's so many small business owners in Jacksonville with talent and great ideas. We wanted to find somebody who really had the drive to succeed. And Gil Dwarf from Modiston was our guy. He's done a great job. He's almost doubled his sales in the past year. His website's fantastic. We designed it for him last year, and obviously being in front of NFL fans on Sunday at Jaguars games has been huge. He's kind of a household name in Jacksonville, which is terrific.
So for folks who want to get involved in this, maybe they're hearing about this for the first time, and hopefully that's not the case, but if they are, bigstagebigresults.com is the website. What are you looking for? What, you know, when it comes to determining finalists and looking for that eventual winner, what are the kind of things that both web.com and the Jags are looking for that are going to catch your eye?
Sure. We want somebody with the ingredients to be successful, a great idea, and the determination to really work hard and take what we're going to give them and put it to good use. We're going to give them so much exposure that we want somebody who has the right, you know, the right ingredients to really make it big.
So the winner ultimately will be determined after it's pared down to six finalists, and in the month of July, each of these companies will make their pitch in that kind of Shark Tank, and we keep referencing this. We assume people know it's the Mark Cuban show where people come, entrepreneurs come with ideas, and they have a panel of investors, and they decide which ones to actually invest in and which ones they'll pass on. So out of those six, one of them will win a comprehensive NFL sponsorship with the Jaguars and a complete digital makeover from web.com. In total, the package is valued at more than $250,000. Again, pretty impressive stuff. Bigstagebigresults.com. Tyler, if you're going to give anybody any tips other than getting in under the deadline is May 31st, right?
That's correct. It's May 31st. My one piece of advice would be, make sure your personality is exciting and fun. This will be a film television show, so we want some personalities to make this exciting and fun to watch.
Are you on the panel that will ultimately judge this yourself?
No. That's for the guys who are big in lights, not for me, thankfully.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, is there anything they can bribe you with, you know, that would help along the way? We're always looking for an edge in these kind of things. All right. Again, the website, go to bigstagebigresults.com. If you're a small business owner or if you know a small business owner that could benefit from this and who couldn't, let them know about it and get to the website by the deadline of May 31st. Register. There'll be a round of interviews to follow. And ultimately, in the month of July, someone will be crowned the second year champion of the 2016 Small Business Breakthrough, powered by web.com in collaboration with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tyler, I think it's a great deal. Motiston, I'm sure, is thrilled. I'm looking at some of the numbers in their productivity and how it's jumped their web traffic since you guys got involved with them. And I'm sure they would be hearty endorsers of anybody who was able to win this contest to tell them what a big impact it's had on their business.
Yeah, Gil's been fantastic. He's done a number of TV interviews and radio spots, and he's just thrilled with what he's seen so far. And the guy is so passionate about his business, it's really fun to help somebody out who really cares and wants to be successful.
All right, well, look, web.com is a tremendous, as I said, they're longtime sponsors of a lot of stuff that we've done on this station, and it's just been fun to see that company grow from the local presence that it's always had to now really being on the national scene, the web.com tour and so many other great things, being a primary sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now are really going to help revitalize and take a local small business to another level with this challenge. A 2016 Small Business Breakthrough. Go to bigstagebigresults.com and register. You got to do it by May 31st. Tyler Brown, Senior Director of Sports Marketing at web.com. Tyler, we appreciate the time this morning. You excited about what the Jags have done this offseason? What do you think the team's going to do on the field this year?
It's going to be a great year. I'm really excited about our draft picks and some of the new free agents we signed. I think it's our year to win the AFC and move on to the big game.
All right. Well, let's hope from your lips to whoever's ears need to hear that to get that job done. Tyler, great stuff, man. We appreciate everything web.com does here in the local community. Have a blast with this contest, and congratulations in advance, whatever lucky but very deserving winner gets this, because it will be a life-changing, business-changing kind of opportunity for them. So thanks for the time this morning.
It sure will. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. That's Tyler Brown, the Senior Director of Sports Marketing over at web.com. Again, small business owners, bigstagebigresults.com. You get a full NFL sponsorship with the Jags and a complete digital makeover from web.com. The total value of that package, more than $250,000. And Motiston, I'm telling you, the numbers, 250,000. 20% growth in web traffic, monthly sales doubling since winning the contest, online sales quintupling, and on it goes. So, again, bigstagebigresults.com. Dan Hicken was on the big stage this morning, the Tom Coughlin Celebrity Golf Tournament out at the Valley Course this year as they redo the greens out at the Sawgrass Stadium course. And had a lot of guys on this morning. You hear from Tom Coughlin quite a bit on this network. But one guy that we wanted to bring you a few thoughts from was Sean McDonough, Tony.
Yeah.
The new voice of Monday Night Football, right? I mean, this is a huge stage. If you're a football play-by-play guy, that's the pinnacle of your profession, really. So Sean McDonough got a chance to sit down with Dan and vice versa this morning and share some of his thoughts right here on 1010XL.
Sean McDonough here, who is going to visit with us. Sean, the new voice of Monday Night Football. I know everybody's been congratulating you, but from us, congratulations. What a great honor, and we're thrilled for you.
Well, I appreciate it. Just hearing that music got me a little bit excited.
I know.
It's one of the great, I think it's the most iconic package in the history of sports television. So to have the opportunity to be a small part of it is really something that I'm going to cherish.
And, you know, as a local guy, you see names. And when Tirico left, you know, we saw your name kicked around as a possible replacement. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, what I love about you is you're a grinder. You're a grinder, man. You've been doing it. You work, you go. And I like to see guys like that get rewarded. So you deserve it.
Well, I appreciate
you've been terrific.
That.
We've been able to listen to you make some great calls for events that are important to us here in the South that we remember you being on. So we're just thrilled, and I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, I am. You know, it sort of happened by accident.
Uh-huh.
Mike Tirico left ESPN to open it up, and it's a great opportunity for Mike. He's going to NBC, and he'll do great events there. And you know, he's a dear friend back to college. We both went to Syracuse.
Sure.
So a lot of times, as you know, when something good happens to you in life and in this business in particular, a lot of times it's at the expense of somebody else. So
right.
The fact that this opportunity came along and, the history of it, I'll just be the fifth play-by-play person in 46 years of Monday Night Football. So it doesn't open up very often, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to do it.
What changes for you now this, like, between now and when you get started, what types of things are you working on, or are you what's your schedule like as you get ready?
Well, we're already
take
getting
over?
Research documents from our fantastic research people at ESPN with information about our first two games. Our first game is going to be August 7th at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, Indianapolis, and the Packers, and that'll be fun with Brett Favre going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
So Coach Gruden's already grinding. He's in the bunker, I'm sure, right now. He's in the Fired Football Coaches Association film room.
That's right.
He's unbelievable, his work ethic. We just spent a couple of days together in New York early last week at an advertising event. And
did you have to get up at 4 a.m. with him, too?
I did not. They told me the problem on Monday nights is that he's usually going to bed around 8:30, and that's right when our game is just starting. So part of my job, I think, is going to have to be making sure that he's caffeinated at 8:30 at night so he can stay awake for the game.
If it's a blowout game, you may have to be at your best in the fourth quarter is what you're telling me.
Sometimes that can happen. But the producer told me one of his foremost jobs on the Mondays, a game day, is just making sure that John's awake when the game comes around.
You've been coming down to this event for a long time now. Why do you keep coming back, Sean?
Well, it's a great cause.
Yes.
And you and Brian did a great job last night,
Thank
as
you.
Always, by the way, my
Thank
friend.
You.
But it's, you meet the families, you meet the children.
Right.
Who need our help, and it'd be kind of lousy if you had the chance to come and didn't come.
Yeah.
You know? And when Tom and Coughlin and Judy and Kelly, their amazing family, ask you to come, why wouldn't you come? Plus, it's not heavy lifting to come to Ponte Vedra and play a great golf course.
Not bad.
You know, I've played with the same group. It's the only time, Dan, I've ever played in one of these where the people I played with actually wanted to play with me again.
That's great.
So my buddy Mike Lewis and his band of merry men.
Right.
This is our year because we're going to cheat with much more gusto than we usually do.
You got the erasers ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, some of the handicaps of these people, especially the celebrities, should begin with Once Upon a Time because they're fairy tales. But as a friend of mine says, if you're not cheating, you're only cheating yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to get out there today. And no, I'm kidding, but It's a great event. It's doing great work, and when you meet the families and who benefit from this, it makes you realize that you need to keep coming back and doing your part.
I read recently a great article about your family, and it's for those who don't know, The McDonough family, you want to talk about guys who wanted to get into sports. And obviously, because of your dad, bunch of sports nerds. Mm-hmm. But that's like all many of us who grow up this way. Now, here you are, the play-by-play guy for Monday night. You have a brother who's a general manager in the NBA.
Yeah, the Phoenix Suns, my brother Ryan.
And, of course, we know Terry, who was here in Jacksonville, now doing a great job out with Arizona and what they've been able to accomplish. So he'll be getting his calling to be a general manager in the NFL.
He got a lot smarter when he got to Arizona.
Listen, that's an incredible story, though. How does that happen?
Well, we all grew up around it. My dad was a legendary sports writer for the Boston Globe and then made the transition into TV as one of the first information man, like Chris Mortensen and John Clayton and those guys. So he blazed the trail for them. Matter of fact, when he died, Peter King came over to me at the funeral and said the first person he called when he got on TV was my dad to thank him for being successful, because if he had failed at it, maybe they wouldn't have kept trying.
Good
that.
Good point.
So, we all grew up around sports, knowing we wanted to do something in sports. You know, I kind of admire Terry and Ryan. I do admire them, but I think their job's fun if you're – competitor, I love competition. You know, they get that part of it, the winning and the losing. And the losing part, we went through that with the Phoenix Suns this year. It's hard when you're sitting there with your brother watching the games and, you know, living and dying with every basket. But we had a lot of winning this year, too, with the Arizona Cardinals, obviously. So, but I admire the there's a lot of fun to me to what they do. And now I experience that vicariously through them when I go to the games. But we're all blessed. You know, we're all doing what we love to do, living in the toy store of life.
That's the truth. The many levels of your dad, just a quick story. I remember when Tom, was coaching here in Jacksonville. And as a local guy, you'd always want to get the scoop, the national, your dad got them all, right? So I'm like, well, how is it? And one time I was sitting there with Tom just visiting, and I'm like, how is it that Will McDonough knows everything and gets everything? And he's like, hey, he goes, he has information, he gives information, information. You got to know how it works. And I was like,
And he never violated, a lot of the coaches and athletes would tell me, you'd tell him something because he trusted you.
Right.
And back in the day, my dad was, if he wasn't the first, he was among the very first to do these mock drafts that now everybody does.
Right.
And back in the day, the teams would tell you accurate information. Now they kind of lie to you because they want to throw the other teams off.
Right.
But I remember Coach Coughlin, among others, I'd be at my dad's house on draft day, and he would have had his mock draft, and teams would call my dad and say, are you sure they're going to pick Joe Jones? Because if they're going to pick Joe Jones, we want to get up ahead of them to, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And my dad, that's what they told me.
Right.
So
that's great
stuff. Now these teams are all trying to throw each other off, and I think they send a lot of false messages in these mock drafts. But, he was a legendary guy. He was a very close friend of Coach Coughlin.
Sure he was.
And, my dad enjoyed coming down here to this event.
Yeah, yeah. As you look forward to Monday Night Football, here's hoping that we can get the Jags getting on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, I think they're on the way up.
Down the road, we'd like to see you down here. This is a good,
they shouldn't let their first-round draft picks practice, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
I was horrified to hear that again. But it sounds like he's going to be all right. No, I think they're on the way up, and Gus has a really good staff, and Dave Caldwell's done a nice job with the drafting and player acquisition. So I think their trajectory is definitely upward.
Well, let's hope he's right. There's not many other places to go right now with the trajectory. That's Sean McDonough, the new voice of Monday Night Football on ESPN, along with Dan Hicken this morning on The Drill, live at the Tom Coughlin Charity Golf Tournament for the J Fund out at the Sawgrass Valley Course. It's Jaguars Today right here. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms, and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or stop in and see them at South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, which asked you today, what's the best birthday gift you ever got that was Jaguars related? Because somebody's a birthday boy today, and it's not me, and it's not Tony. With Duval Doom, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, OTA practice day one wrapped up, and Gus Bradley, Dante Fowler Jr. addressing the media this morning. You probably catch some of that streaming live on Jaguars.com. If not, catch it throughout the afternoon right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, your flagship home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and the birthday boy Duval Doom, five-timer. Didn't get you anything.
That's okay.
Okay, got you. Pass to come in this morning.
I got in the building.
You
That's
did
right.
get in the building. You're here. I didn't have the appropriate smoking jacket for you. So
a smoking jacket in my size would cost you a pretty penny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. So. I'm a pretty big boy. If I had a spare smoking jacket, I would have tried to bring it and. You might surprise yourself.
Speaking of clothing, that's a nice shirt.
You like this
one? I might have to learn to play golf.
Do you want it?
No, I don't want your shirt.
No, it's like, what is this, the
2010.
Guggenheim.
2010. That's held up.
It's classic.
That's held up.
It's old school. This one fits me well because I think it's a 3X. It's unfortunate. John Osier tweeting out that Jaguar OTA's day one of the books, folks not working out today, players not participating, Allen Robinson with a hamstring. Some Derek Marks, Prince of Mukamara, Roy Miller, Jonathan Woodard, Luke Bowanko, Thurston Armbruster.
And actually, an update apparently just a moment ago from Gus or whatever they're doing at the post-practice press conferences. Luke Bowanko has a torn labrum in his hip. He's been placed on the PUP list.
Okay.
So that's why he wasn't at practice today and explains it at least.
An explanation. And, you know, they just signed, I don't know if it's directly related to that, Jeff Linkenbach. We were talking about that on the break a few minutes ago. Kind of one of those under-the-radar signings, right? Yep. Like when Mackenzie Bernadeau signed, nobody was going, oh, all right. You know, it's like, oh, there's offensive line depth. Well, maybe an offensive line starter right
yeah.
there. Linkenbach's played a lot of football in the National Football League, started a lot of games.
He has, and I liked that signing because it felt like a guy that could really back up multiple positions
and
do it
they,
well.
They finally announced the entry to Jonathan Woodard.
There it is.
A torn Achilles. They say they're putting him on the PUP list, at least for now, so we'll see what happens.
Shame for
that.
Jonathan Woodard, but I'll tell you what, he was, I think, at best ticketed for the practice squad.
Probably.
Regardless, this year is the worst-kept secret in Jaguar injury news in quite a while. That had been going on for about a little over a week a week ago Saturday, something like that, I think.
Yeah. And they are saying Bowanko is going to require some kind of surgery on his hip. So we'll see what kind of timetable they have for his return. It's unfortunate for Luke, just given the competition, the numbers they have on that offensive line right now.
Right, and that's the thing. And, you know, for the Jags, they can withstand an injury like that to a guy like that, and that's not a shot at Luke Bowanko. But right now, when you look at if you project Bernadeau as a starter at the moment and Luke Jokel because Beecham's not healthy at the moment, you got Beecham, you got Linkenbach, you got Tyler Shatley, you've got Josh Wells. Who am I missing? I mean, those are that's a pretty solid depth across the line. You got some guys that can play tackle. You've got some guys who are versatile, can play inside and outside. So, you know, you hope for a full recovery for Luke Bowanko and that he's able to help you this year. But torn labrum in your hip, I don't know. I don't know what the prognosis is going to be on that. So, as Tony said, looks like maybe some surgery in the offing. And, of course, in addition to that, we mentioned Beecham. Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack are not here. Ramsey would not be able to participate with the injury. Miles Jack is due to UCLA still being on the quarter system, I think. And until they're done with school for the semester, he is not allowed to attend. They had the rookie. It was a rookie premiere just took place. You see, Malcolm Mitchell did not go. The New England Patriot wide receiver was one of the invitees. He's the only one who was invited. He didn't go. Said he wants to study his playbook more, which will get him in good with the coaching staff. But what they've done with this rookie premiere, which is really a showcase, it's not – you know, like a rookie thing where you go in and you learn about the evils of unscrupulous, you know, business dealings and things like that. This is just something where they go out, it's a publicity thing. They actually, if the players choose not to go, they're not allowed to even be at the team facility, those who are invited to this.
When is that?
I think it's just going on. I saw something on PFT yesterday that Malcolm Mitchell declined his invitation to the rookie premiere. Either it just happened or it's coming up. Shortly.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because I saw the NFL tweeted out the picture of the 2016 rookie class,
right.
The first rounders, and Jalen wasn't in it.
Well, maybe it's going on right now. Maybe that's part of it, right? And that he's been taking care of his situation health-wise, and that's fine either way. so probably would have missed a few days anyway.
And a couple other comments coming out. They did say that Woodard has already had the surgery on that torn Achilles.
Okay.
So he's already done that. Most likely he's going to be put on IR for the season would be my guess.
Torn Achilles, man.
But now they're talking pup list. At least that's what they said today. And Gus Bradley confirming some stuff that we saw on Twitter here a couple moments ago. Luke Jokel is being moved around. He's playing tackle and guard at least early on, and it sounds like that's the plan, at least as they go through these OTAs, is to play Luke at both those spots so that potentially he could be a guard if he doesn't win that left tackle spot.
Right, and we just don't know what kind of state Kelvin Beecham's going to be in, right, when training camp rolls around. Is he going to be able to be healthy? We hope so. We hope that's the case, but we just don't know. So you can't assume, okay, Beecham stepping in as your new left tackle, Luke concentrate on guard, but you can't wait until the last minute to cross train him either, so you're in kind of that no man's land right now with him.
I'm a little I'm a little surprised. I kind of felt like Luke would not play guard if Beecham wins the thing. I leaned more towards Luke's not suited to play guard.
Doesn't mean that he'll be the guard,
but
right?
He needs to be able to back up,
maybe. He needs to be able to. You need to find out what you've got a lot invested in this guy, and I'm sure the Jags don't want his Jaguar career to end after 2016, right? You want him to force you to make a decision to give him a contract extension.
Contribute something.
Because he's played well enough and he's got that versatility that even if he's a swing player at that point in time, that a guy could play both tackle and guard for you. You'd hate to feel that your first draft pick ever, you only got one contract out of the guy. But, he's going to have to prove that. Today, fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Automobile Dealerships, asked, what is the best Jaguars-related birthday gift, the coolest you've ever received in honor of Duval Doom's 41st birthday? Tony, on Twitter, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Frank, a starter jacket from the late 90s with the original Jaguars logo, like the car company. From Jag Junkie, Fred Taylor autographed Jaguars helmet. I love him. From Eric, got a Bocelli jersey signed as a gift 1 year. My birthday falls in preseason, so any win is nice also. From T-Mock, we got the Jaguars have gifted me 2 victories on my birthday over the last 2 years. From Cristiano, nothing so far. I'll have a talk with my wife and kids about it. From Irish Jaguar, still waiting for my first, to be honest. Both of y'all sound like y'all need to have a discussion with loved ones. From Jarrell.
Do they not celebrate birthdays outside the United States?
Apparently not. But from Jarrell, Captain America t-shirt with the Jags logo on his chest and shield. Hashtag Team Cap. From Black Dog, it was 2 ticks on the 50-yard line. First home game, 95 against the Oilers. And
nice.
From Clay, I'd probably say the gold and teal starter from 93, but the custom jersey I got in 98, a close second.
Here's a smattering from the Facebook page. Garrett said, my birthday was yesterday, the 22nd. Happy birthday, belated. And he got a Jaguar yard flag. He goes, it's simple, but it helps proclaim my loyalty up here in Panthers country. So he is flying the flag, literally, for the Jaguars up in the Carolinas. Kenneth said, we moved back home to Jacksonville 15 years ago. My wonderful wife got me my first ever set of season tickets. We've been season ticket members ever since. Love living in an NFL town. Go Jags. Hashtag Jaguars today. Marshall said, my first and only jersey. The wife totally surprised me. Big 93 Tyson Alualu. Can't wait till this year. And then finally, Geno Brown said, when I get one, I will let you know.
Oh,
that's
Gino,
a shame.
I don't know if he's a troll. I don't know when your birthday is. We give you a Jaguars Today t-shirt. No, now they say that. Everyone wants one. We'll let you come in and host the show.
I know the show is going to wrap up here soon, but I just grabbed a cut from Dante Fowler wrapping up day 1 of OTAs.
Oh, you tell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what is set it up. What is he talking about here, Tyler?
So apparently Mike DiRocco asked him, hey, you had a play earlier in OTAs where you would have gotten a sack if it was a real game, and this was Dante's response.
Just to know that it was a sack, it felt good, just to get back out here and move around and just to showcase some stuff, especially on the first day. We're in shorts and helmets. We'll really see how it is with pads and stuff like that. But today I really just wanted to come out here, make it through a practice, And, just get the feel of it again and just be around the guys and be happy again.
Congratulations, Dante Fowler Jr., for making it through unscathed.
Yes, he did.
He walked
off the field under his own power.
Yes, he did. He practiced with the brace but said he probably didn't need it. It's just a precautionary thing. And one last note from Gus Bradley speaking a few moments ago. Ryan Davis apparently working at the auto spot. more so than the Leo. So
nice.
The numbers crunch with them trying to figure out what they can do with this roster is beginning already.
Hey, we said, Tony, a dozen guys, viable guys on that defensive line group. And if you're going to, say, keep 10, you better have some value somewhere else where you can force your way into the rotation. And that is an area where they continue to be thin. Look, I know they've got Scooter there. People think we're going to see Miles Jack start on the strong side. Not that he's a future Otto, maybe a future middle linebacker, but you know you got to get him on the field somewhere. And then, you know, Telvin's not coming off. Puzlesny's going to play. So, you know, whether it's Ryan Davis or anybody else, they're going to have their work cut out for him to leapfrog some of the guys in front of him. But we know injuries happen, and this team is not super deep in that linebacking core. So let's hope they don't happen significantly for the Jags. What are you going to do for the rest of your birthday today?
I'm going to have lunch with a few friends over on Southside.
Yeah, you are. Tony, you get the invite? You going with this?
I was waiting until the show was over, and I was going to invite you.
You're waiting until I complained about it publicly.
No. Dude, I haven't really had a chance to talk to you. You're like, you've been busy.
What are you talking about?
And...
Stop it. Happy birthday. He's 41 years old, and he is a five-time celebrity co-host of Jaguars.
This might be the last time.
It won't be the last time. But no one's ever going to catch you, all right, because we don't like anybody else nearly as much as we like you. And we have him in for, you know, like one show, and we're sick of him. So five is not going to be caught. You already put this mark way out of reach right now. Thanks.
I am the Steve Martin.
You are. A reminder, hey, I don't know if David Garrard's going to make it in today. I think he's got a big fishing trip later this week. But he's got some great summer plans. If you're looking to get in shape for the summer, all you kids out of school or getting ready to get out of school, whether you're high school, getting ready for college, whatever the case may be, get in shape this summer at Retro Fitness. Go to RetroFitnessJax.com. They've got all the details, summer-specific plans for you. Get in shape. Get on board with the Retro Rage. It's really going well for Dave and company at the two Retro Fitness locations here in Jacksonville. So check them out online at RetroFitnessJax.com. David Garrard will take great care of you out there and get you in great summer shape as well. Thanks to our friends at Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Thanks to the voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, for stopping by. John Osier from Jaguars.com as well. And glad we could bring you that Will McDonough interview that Dan Hicken did earlier today. And thanks again. I'm sorry, Sean McDonough. What did I say? Will? That's
Will.
His dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Will. Sean McDonough. I probably said, did I say Will like five times earlier today?
No, I think you've been pretty good with Sean.
Have I?
All right.
You always got to keep your eyes on me, your ears on me. Tyler Brown, Senior Director of Sports Marketing at Web.com as well. We appreciate him weighing in on the small business venture that he's got going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That does it for us today. Happy birthday, Duval Doom. Everybody hop on Twitter and wish him a happy birthday there as well. For Fat Tony, for Doom, for Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up. Coming up next, we've got XL Primetime. No, we don't. We've got the Midday Chalk.
Got to keep my eye on this guy.
I'm telling you, Tony. Will McDonough, Will McDonough hosting XL Primetime next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.